Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. When I was younger and reading the Bible, I always felt it was not too hard for me to read. So I thought, yeah, everyone just pick up the Bible and start reading it. But as you continue in reading God's word, you realize that some things are plain and simple, and there are other things in the Word of God that are very hard. Hard sayings. Some hard because they're hard for us to understand exactly what the Bible is saying. But other hard sayings are hard because we understand exactly what the Bible is saying, but we either wish God didn't call us to do that, or we think to ourselves, how can I ever accomplish that? Today is one such passage. God, I don't know if I want to do this, and I don't know if I can do this. Why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to start reading in verse 27. Luke chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 27, and I'll be reading out of the ESV this morning, and I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. It reads this way, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Oh God, you love with an everlasting love. You have put your love on display in every part of our lives, and for that we are grateful. Because we are recipients of such a great love. Lord, by your Spirit, give us the desire and the power to love others as you have loved us. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is Kingdom Love. We will look at three loves: the world's love, kingdom love, and how we are loved. When we read a passage like this, we may think to ourselves, surely Jesus is using hyperbole here. He does not really expect me to love my enemy. Bless those who curse me. Give a person access to hitting me more than once. Give a thief more of my clothing after he has stolen from me. Is this how God really expects me to demonstrate love? Well, let's consider the ways we love and hate, going from demonic to the divine in character. The first three fall into the category of the world's love. At lowest level, we may hate those who love us. There are people that have killed their parents that loved them for an early inheritance. There are people that have killed their spouse for insurance money. This would be the lowest level and a deep lack of love to those that love you. But sometimes it doesn't even need to go that deep. You're not off the hook yet. Sometimes it shows up in the form of frenemies. I didn't learn that term until I was full grown with kids, and it actually wasn't until I had a daughter was the first time I heard the term frenemies. Frenemies are people who appear to be friends on the surface, but actually harbor rivalry, jealousy, or resentment beneath the surface. The term is a blend of the word friend and enemy. A frenemy might act friendly in public and then talk about you behind your back. A frenemy offers compliments, but actually there's a subtle insult in the compliment. They may pretend to support you, but secretly they're hoping for your failure. A frenemy competes with you while pretending to root for your success. In short, a frenemy is someone who smiles at you but does not truly have your best interests at heart. They are actually against you. That's none of you guys, right? The second level, right? First level is hating those that love you. The second level is hate for hate. We may hate those who hate us. Not only may we do this, we do this. We've learned this from the world. The world runs on payback. The world teaches us get even. Curse for curse, hate for hate, blow for blow, scheme for scheme. This is the way of the world. It is revenge dressed up as justice. It's revenge dressed up as justice. The third level, we may love those that love us. That's also the way of the world. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Even Stephen. Sometimes when I counsel people for marriage, because this happens even in marriages, it's like, well, I'm not doing this because she's not doing that. It's like some sort of contract, just like unspoken, until you stop doing this and find out that they stopped doing that. Love those who love us often looks like kindness returned for kindness. Loyalty matched with loyalty. Caregiving for those who care for us. It feels natural. It feels easy. There's a mutual affection and mutual benefit. This relationship is good for the both of us. We share in joy. We support one another. We feel safe in the relationship. But as Jesus points out, this kind of love, while not bad, it's good, it's also common. The world does that. Sinners do that. It's nothing special. It doesn't actually require sacrifice. And then we have the highest level. Finally, what Jesus says, we must love those that hate us. This is probably one of the hardest sayings in all the Bible. And it begs the question, how do I even do that? Well, I hope none of us are giving love, hate for love. While I know, how to give hate for hate and love for love, how do we give love for hate? Well, first, we need to define what love is. Love is a steadfast, willful affection and commitment to another's well-being, marked by selfishness, selflessness, patience, kindness, forgiveness, and endurance, often expressed through action, sacrifice, and truth. It is not based on feeling alone, but on a choice to value and serve others. Regardless of their worthiness and regardless of their response. Love is not just something we feel. It's something we do. It's something that we continue to do even when it gets hard. John Piper put it this way. Love is not a passive emotion, but a determined choice to do good, especially when it's hardest. Tim Keller said, you don't fall into love. You don't fall into love, you commit to it. Love is saying, I will be there no matter what. So how's that working out for love at first sight? How does that work out for those butterflies in your stomach and now you're saying, I'm in love? So that is the way the world loves. Let's talk about kingdom love. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Well, who would this be? They would include all those whose relation to ourselves is likely to provide ill feelings. Those who are opposed to us. Those that may have hurt you. Those that may have robbed you, those that have done you wrong. You're called to love them. Does that mean that I need to have some fuzzy emotional feeling for that individual? Jesus doesn't expect us to have the same deep, affectionate friendship with our enemies. That we reserve for those that we truly admire and that we are truly grateful to have relationship with. He's not saying ignore everything you feel. That kind of friendship that is, I love my friends, and you're not expected to love your enemies that way, because that kind of friendship is built on trust. That type of friendship is built on gratitude and mutual respect. It can only exist with people that are highly valued in your heart and in your mind. It would be unnatural for you to feel that way towards people that have wronged you. So that's not what this is saying. However, it is possible. And what Christ has called us to do is to start with letting go of bitterness. That's where that starts. Stop wishing harm on your enemies. Instead, to cultivate a genuine kindness toward them. Well, how do we go from bitterness to start to have a genuine kindness towards an individual? This would include being willing to help them. When someone really does me wrong, I don't know why the same. So, like, I'm like y'all, like, I got to go through a process too. I don't know why one of the first things that enters my mind is, if I'm driving by and I see you in a rainstorm on the side of the road with a flat. Yeah, maybe through the process in the beginning of life, I'm splashing you with a puddle. This includes the willingness to help them, praying for them, and even looking for opportunities to do them good. This type of love gives without expecting. Remember, it's not about how a person responds or whether they are worthy of your love. Love for enemies and difficult people is not rooted in how you feel, but it is our choice to reflect the character of God. We are God's glory reflectors, His children that look like Him. So this is not ignore everything that has taken place and the feelings that I have, but through prayer, the bitterness subsides. I change my heart condition, not wishing you harm, but even wishing you well. And it goes from that to even getting to the place where I can say to myself, if I have opportunity to do them good, I will. Not because that fuzzy feeling returned, but because it's not about the way that I feel. It's about who I am in Christ, and I am going to show them who God is through being one of His children and acting the way that He would act. How is this achieved? We are only able to love our enemies in this way from the transforming power of God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. That's why this is kingdom love. The world cannot produce this. We cannot produce this outside of the Spirit. God would have to give us a grace by the power of his Spirit for us to respond in this way. Because by nature, our hearts cling on to pride. You did this. Resentment, I did not forget. And self-protection, I'm not putting myself in a position for you to do this mess to me again. That's where our natural inclinations would be. But when we truly grasp how God loves us, while we were still enemies, it humbles us and changes the way we see others. That's the key. Here's how we begin to achieve this. Number one, you're not going to be able to achieve this without abiding in Christ. We have to stay connected to the Lord in our word, in worship, in prayer, because his love fills and reshapes us. We have to remember God's mercy to us. We forgive and show mercy because we have been forgiven and we have been shown mercy. Remember the parable that Jesus spoke about, how this guy owed the king all of this money and was about to get thrown into prison, and he begged and the king forgave him, and then he went outside and found someone that owed him a little bit of chump change and went to the person and beat him and said, put him in jail till he pays me. And they went back and said that to the king, and the king is like, I showed you great mercy. How dare you? That's us. That's us. We have to pray for our enemies. Like, that's what's going to change the bitterness to I wish this person well. It's going to be through praying for them. And praying for them is not going to start where you're so apt and anxious and willing and looking to pray for them. No, it's going to be obedience. I'm going to pray for them. And you continue to pray for them, and you'll see the bitterness start to go away. And the person could have deeply hurt you and wronged you. Doesn't matter. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit produces love in us, even when we don't feel it naturally. Act in love, even when it's hard. Love begins with obedience, not emotions. That's where it's going to start. As you choose to bless instead of curse, eventually feelings will follow. Ultimately, we love because he first loved us. It's not about suppressing bitterness by willpower and gritting it out, but by surrendering our hearts to the one who loved us at our worst. Ask him to teach us to do the same. And the last point, how we are loved. How has God displayed his love towards us? Like, know this, you could say you love, But if there's no evidence of it, love has proofs. Love has proofs. And I'm saying that also to like young men and young ladies when they're thinking about being romantic. Like, it doesn't matter what she said or he said. Like, it has proofs. But all love has proofs. Verse 35 says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. It looks like something. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. God is kind. God is merciful. To who? To you. To me, the ungrateful and the evil. At one time, the ungrateful and the evil was you. It was me. So he says, I've extended it to you. Go extend it to others. You know why? By doing so, you resemble God himself. That looks totally different from the world's standard. We don't love like the world, tit for tat. We display kingdom love by loving even our enemies, treating them the way the Father treated us. The cross is the ultimate display of enemy love. Oh, Lord. The cross is the ultimate display of enemy love. John Owen said this: there is nothing in us. You're not as cute as you think you are. I'm not talking about externally. There is nothing in us by nature to entitle us to the least of God's regard. Who is man that God would consider him? Yet, his love was not moved by our goodness. He didn't love you because you were good, but by his own grace. Love is not dependent upon the loveliness of the object, but upon the character of the one who loves. When we love like this, we are living testimonies of the power of the gospel. Come on up, worship team. Let's ask ourselves a couple of questions. How are we loved? Where are the proofs? We are loved through Christ's sacrificial death. Proof. God demonstrated his love for us in this while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Let me just throw this in for free. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. So once you are a saint in God's family and you mess up, God's love for you is not contingent on your report card. He still loves you. Your position in him does not change. But your relationship to him will demand you draw close, because a child of God does not want that kind of distance and fellowship. The cross is the ultimate display of love. Jesus gave his life to rescue us while we were still enemies. Where are the proofs? We are loved as adopted children. Proof. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. God's love doesn't stop at forgiveness. He brings us into his family with full rights of sons and daughters. That's some different kind of love. Like, maybe I can tolerate you. Maybe I won't hurt you. Maybe I won't give you a screw face when I see you. Maybe I'll try to stop thinking ill of you. Maybe I'll even have a conversation with you again. But to bring you in as an adopted child with full rights, what a proof of love. We are loved unconditionally and eternally. Proof. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. God's love doesn't fade with our failures. Wow. How often do you hear someone says, "I just don't love you anymore. I've fallen out of love." Based on either they've changed or your report card, you're not cutting the grade. Oh, man. God's love doesn't fade with our failures. It is steady. It is loyal. And it is anchored in his character. We are loved with daily care and compassion. Proof. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God's love is not distant. He walks with us. He comforts us. He carries our burdens. We are loved with purposeful discipline. You may think, "Don't love me like that." No, you want that love as well. Proof. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as sons. If God does not discipline you, the scriptures say that you are illegitimate. You are not his child. Even God's correcting love is meant to refine us, not to us. We are loved with promised presence. Proof, I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. His love is constant. In your loneliest moments, he is there and he remains near. We are loved by God personally, persistently, and powerfully. The greatest proof is the cross. By his love, he shows us every single day through patience patience, through provision, through his promises, and the way he continually pursues our hearts. We don't need to ever wonder, am I loved by God? He has already shown it to us. So let us display kingdom love to others because we are so deeply loved by him. Would you stand, family? Lord, your actions, your promises remind us that we are loved. Lord, help us to display this love to others, especially our enemies, Lord, relying on your Spirit to lead us in that. Let our love for others be proven by our actions. Your love has proofs that we can tangibly see in our lives. Help us to do that, oh God. Lord, we pray for one in this room that today you've displayed your love by opening their eyes. You've given them love that only you can give. They were lost and you sought them. You've brought them to this place this day. So we pray, Lord, that they would repent, turn around, and run to your cross, your greatest display of love, where you purchased them by shedding your blood and forgiving them of their sins. But you didn't stop there, removing that stony heart and giving them a heart of flesh. You impute to them, you give them your righteousness. Make them new, Lord. Teach them by your grace to walk in your love, Lord. We thank you, Lord, by the power of your love, you have done this. We thank you, Lord, how we're going to walk out of here different than the way that we came in, loving on one another and others, even our enemies, because we recognize how greatly loved we are and how our expression of love needs to be so different from the world because what we have received from you. We thank you, Lord, that we recognize we're a work in progress, but we have this confidence that the good work you started in us, you're going to bring to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And for that, we are grateful. And we glorify, magnify, and praise your holy name. Thank you for your love. Teach us to extend it, relying on your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, family.